Congratulations to the Calandra boys, to Davis and Kyle, and also to Luke for that special time. And I'm just really thankful. I don't know if you've ever been up in Baptist history. The water is like 3 feet deep or so. I'm just really glad Jimmy was able to stay out and head above the water. I believe in miracles. I really do. That was awesome there. Next Sunday, we're also having a couple of people who are going to be baptized. I know there have been some of you that have been thinking about taking that step. If you are interested in following Christ in that life-changing way, just let us know. You can give us a call. You can put it on your communication card. We'd be glad to meet with you, help you out in any way that we can. I'm sure that a lot of you baby boomers can remember a singing group years ago called the Five-Man Electric Band. Remember? Baby boomers? You younger guys wouldn't know that as well. But they sang a song entitled Signs. You might remember that song. It contained the following words, and I'm not going to sing it, so you can relax. Signs. Signs. Everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery. Breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? Remember that song? Some people try to apply that to Christianity, but I thought you might like to see a few examples of some weird signs that have actually been put out. Maybe you've even seen one or two of these. Here's the first one. Drive slowly. People under construction ahead. I guess there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of us are under construction. But this next one was out in a rural countryside area. I would guess that cars are probably still wandering around lost after looking at that sign. Go left, but turn right. So how about coming up to the next stop sign? Which way do I go? I think this would have been the time maybe to have a helicopter to get out of the area. That would have been the only hope there. Or how about this next one? Right lane must right left. A little confusing there. Or how about this next one if you really want confusing? I'm glad they put up good luck on there. Or how about some of you who have senior adults in your lives? That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Wash and vacuum senior citizens for just $15.95? That's pretty good. And then if you ever need to stop and go to the bathroom, please remember the following sign. Vehicles must not be parked in the toilets. Okay? Sometimes when people look at Christianity, they get confused about some of the things that are said or taught. They hear people talk about church or traditions that they follow or about other aspects of Christianity. Some even limit it to religion. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But as they look at that, they say, it sounds like a prison to me. It sounds like a bottomless pit. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's conflicting, contradictory. Some people think that Christianity is a prison. And I just want to say to you, I do not believe that is the case at all. Sometimes that thought actually keeps people from choosing to follow Christ because they don't have an authentic, realistic look at Christianity. I believe that following Jesus Christ is the greatest freedom on this planet. If you really want to be set free, there is no better life than that. And I want to talk a little bit about this freedom. I want to call it real freedom. I believe that real freedom begins when I become the me that God creates. And when you become the person that God uniquely designs and creates. You are that special. Listen again to verse 1 that was read earlier from Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Speaking about the freedom of following Him. When a person becomes a follower of Jesus, this new life truly does begin. And when it begins, we are set free from every prison that has shackled us and held us back and separated us from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 becomes a reality for each of us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You see, as we enter the Christian growth process, what happens is the new keeps coming. It continues to come our way, that new life in Christ. It's lifelong. And the old keeps going away. It's change. We are turned into free people. And now, when we follow Christ, we have a change agent living in us. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He consistently transforms us, brings the new, gets rid of the old. He gives us the power to say yes to the things that are important for our future. And at the same time, He also gives us the power to say no that will continue to keep us in the prison of a life separated from Christ. The right yes and the right no. And what He will do in time is He will change our want-tos. He will change our desires. And we are transformed from the inside out. Folks, I don't know what that sounds like to you, but I call that the ultimate freedom of following Jesus Christ. What's the ultimate prison? Just follow the crowd. That's what the world is inviting us to do. Just follow the crowd. Blend into the system of this world. Just float downstream with all the other culture that's coming our way today. And believe me, in America, the culture is moving further and further away from Christianity. We're going to have to make some tough decisions in our future. I believe they're on the near horizon. But I want to repeat this. The ultimate freedom is not just for individuals. It's not just for us here, but it is for every culture on the planet. That's what I love about Christianity. Christianity has been created by God in such a way that it can walk into any culture, any people group on this planet, and it can work and it can set them free. Whether it's first world countries like we live in here in America, second world nations, or even third world nations. Think about what has happened since the advent of Christianity a couple of thousand years ago. Where did it begin? It began in the Middle East. Do you remember that? Do you realize that? Christianity began in the Middle East. And then it moved out to the Mediterranean area, North Africa, and then up north, Northern Europe, and then to Western Europe, to the coast, and then it was transplanted over here in America, North America, and then it's been moved to Latin America, as well as back to different parts of Africa, and now it's going east to Asia. The greatest Christian growth movement on our planet today is taking place in the Southern Hemisphere and the Eastern Hemisphere. That is where the greatest growth is happening. In the year 1900, approximately 9% of Africans were followers of Christ. Today, a century plus 15 years later, approximately 40% of Africans are now followers of Jesus Christ. In 1900, Muslims outnumbered Christians in Africa 4-1. Today, it's almost equal. Slightly more Muslims than there are Americans. In China, the number of believers is growing incredibly rapidly. Some estimate today that as much as 5-7% of Chinese are now followers of Christ, which is a huge increase over the last 6 decades in that country. What does that mean to us? Christianity was created by God to be able to go into every culture on this planet to help people be set free, to become new as followers of Jesus Christ. Christianity is designed to help Africans become renewed Africans. It is created to help Chinese become renewed Chinese. They don't have to be remade Europeans or recycled North Americans from here. God designed Christianity with incredible creativity. That's what I love about this movement. From the very beginning at Pentecost, in chapter 2 of Acts, we see that there were people there who were able to miraculously share the gospel in the heart languages of people who had come there to visit from other areas. From the very beginning, God is saying Christianity is not some cookie cutter religion. It is unique and creative. God is so creative in what he has brought our way. So here's what we're inviting you to do today as we think about his design and his creativity. Don't become like us. Don't try to be like us. That would be boring. Allow God to make you his new you. And I really invite you, please don't become like me. That would be crazy. You don't want to go down that path. Go down the unique path that God has designed for you. Be transformed from the inside out by his creative power and experience his freedom. It is the greatest life. Another freedom comes with following Jesus. Not only will he allow you to become the you that he's designed, but a spirit-empowered follower of Jesus Christ today is free from this, from trying to save self. We tend to try to do that a lot. Real freedom comes when I stop trying to save me, to save self. This is human nature for so many. Look at verse 2 of our passage. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. There's freedom. From what? Free from the law of sin and death. Now, what does that mean? In our country, we have this good ethic. We call it the American work ethic. And it can so much dominate our lives when we choose to allow that to control us. We sometimes believe that there is a way that we can somehow earn the grace of God. If we'll just do enough good things, then somehow we'll cross over that threshold and move from being lost to being saved. No, that's a description of religion. And I want you to be set free from religion. I don't recommend religion at all. None of us can earn enough spiritual brownie points to go to heaven. It's not possible. And sometimes we even allow pride to take over. Pride where I is the center of our lives. We think, if I could just accomplish so many good deeds, if I could just get to that threshold, to get to that point, then I can be forgiven of my sins and go to heaven. The Spirit has set us free from this legalistic system. This freedom continues beyond just our conversion. That time when we say yes to become followers of Jesus Christ. It leads us all the way through life. We can experience that freedom now as followers of Jesus. Once you realize that you are free from trying to save yourself spiritually, then you can experience another great freedom. What is that? Real spiritual freedom comes when we stop living for self. When we stop living for just ourselves, we refuse to live in a self-centered way. Now, ironically, living this way that I just described for self is the most challenging prison of all, because our old nature draws us toward that. To live for self to get out of life what we want for ourselves. So often it's presented as the American dream. The American dream is contrary to the gospel. It is the exact opposite of Christianity. The temptation is to focus on self, to look out for our personal interests above the needs and lives of others. But that's not what Christ is asking us to do. I was absolutely blown away this week by some news that came across the headlines. There's a website that exists for the purpose of helping people cheat on their spouses. Did you hear about it? And I want to use the word cheat rather than talk about it being an affair. That's what the website calls it, because that softens the definition. Cheating is a better description of reality. And here is their offer. The website offer says, life is short, have an affair. That's what they promote. Can you imagine living with that goal in mind? Like I said, America's moving away from the standards of Christ. Here is their promise. The promise they make on their website is that you can have discreet encounters with others. What's it for? Married people who want to betray their spouses. Now, I have never really been a supporter of computer hackers in the past, but I'm going to leave a little space for this one. I'm glad somebody hacked this website and found out the truth behind it, because I don't want people to continue to be abused and mistreated because of that. Christianity sets us free from such prisons. The introductory verse to teaching on the family, marriages, parenting is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And it is a great verse. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is antithetically opposed to this website. God's word says, voluntarily choose to meet the needs of your family members before your own needs are met. Reach out in love and sacrifice to them. This is one of the greatest paradoxes of Christianity. When does ultimate freedom occur? It occurs when we don't put self at the top of the list. Instead, we put all others there. In essence, Paul is saying, be free from living for just yourself. Don't enter into relationships just to see what you can get out of them. Enter into them to see what you can give. Meet their needs before your own needs are met. And when that happens, we are free to grow and Christ is displayed and He is honored and glorified. By the way, the most dangerous American idol is self. And we need to stand against that idol. Be free from self and live for Christ's glory. And what happens when we're set free? When we are set free, what does freedom produce? Freedom produces this: I serve and I sacrifice. This is the essence of the gospel. Just listen to these awesome words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Okay, here's that freedom again. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. What a strong verse. Isn't that powerful? Here's where it gets exciting to think about following our God, because our God models this service and sacrifice. Please remember what He did. There are so many religions that teach about this unreachable, untouchable God. There's no way you can know Him. He is beyond us. Yes, He is beyond us. But God, through Christ, came close to us. It is through the incarnation, through the atoning death of Christ on the cross, His blood sacrifice, that we can know God and can experience Him. God shouted loudly to all mankind when he did this. Jesus became a vulnerable human being coming our way, willing to suffer, willing to die for us. On the cross, he takes our place. He dies a sacrificial death to forgive us. And when we respond to this life, his life, with repentance, turning away from self, and making a commitment to follow him, he continues to initiate his love through the freedom of our relationships with him. How? The Holy Spirit. He gives us the indwelling Holy Spirit who invites us and leads us to continue to serve and to sacrifice for others. It's ongoing. And here's the good news. You and I do not have to generate the power to do that. We don't have the ability to serve and sacrifice. But when the Holy Spirit is in charge, we do. We have His power. Now here's where we need to get very practical about how to live. If we are in this free lifestyle, following Jesus Christ, then how do we make decisions about things? What steps do we take? How do we know what to do and what not to do? I want for us to look at three great lifestyle questions to ask. And this is where we get practical about our Christianity. The first one is this. Has God already spoken about this issue? In other words, what do the Scriptures say to us? What does the Bible say? We start there. We don't have to go to popular opinion. We certainly don't need to follow the cultural flow of America. First of all, we go to the Word. And this is what we read about the Word in Psalm 19. Just look at these two powerful verses. The law of the Lord is perfect. Can't get better than that, can you? Refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. You can trust His Word. Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light. Look at the byproducts of following His teachings. The writer of this psalm says you will be refreshed. You will experience wisdom. You will have joy. And you will have direction, light on where to go. How are you doing in your study and the application of God's Word? If you're not into it, you're not going to experience what I just described. God's Word is our guide. Read it and heed it. And when you do, you will experience incredible spiritual freedom. Be obedient and be free. Another great question to ask about the choices we have in life is this. Will my actions honor God? This is always a great question to ask. What is my motive in doing what I'm getting ready to do? We need to ask that with every step that we take. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 16, verse 2. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. This is huge. This is really big. We have to ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is my motivation? What is the purpose? Am I doing this to impress others? Do I want to just try to look good? Am I doing it to further and promote myself? Am I just trying to be noticed? I believe this is one of the most challenging aspects of Christianity because it can be disguised deep in the heart and spirit of a person and no one else can know what's going on. Only you can see that and experience that. You see, today, I can be sinning right here and right now by teaching you the Word of God. Does that sound weird? Because if I am doing it with the wrong motive, I'm sinning. If I am doing it to be seen, to be noticed, to receive your kudos, it's the wrong motive. And it's sin. If I'm seeking to display myself in what I do, it's wrong. We have to really get down to the heart of the matter in why we do what we do. What's our motive? Again, let's allow the Scriptures to be our guide, right? Colossians 3, verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." That's a good way to live, isn't it? "Giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And I love this last question. Another great one to ask. Am I willing to do an above and beyond? Will I go above and beyond? Again, for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13. Paul is speaking about an issue that's going on in his world. And here's what he says. "Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall." Some of the people were struggling at food that had been eaten by some people after the food had been sacrificed to idols. That was causing them to stumble. Paul says, "I know there's no such thing as an idol. It doesn't matter what meat I eat." But he goes on to say, "If doing this causes somebody else to stumble, I'll become a vegetarian." Man, I'd say he's going above and beyond, right? And we have a better example than that. How about Jesus? Did he go a little bit above and beyond for us? Above and beyond the call of duty? And so he paves the way for us to do the same. I wonder what that means for us individually. This is going to be different for everyone. But what is he calling us to do that's above and beyond? Am I willing to give more time to my Savior? Am I willing to give more of my talents and abilities for Him? Am I willing to give more money for the kingdom of God? To go above and beyond for my Savior? Paul summarizes this Christian freedom very well in Galatians 5, the first verse of that chapter. He says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Please remember this, follower of Christ. Jesus Christ has set you free. Free from the past. Free from bad memories. Free from failures that you had in the past. Please do not allow past experiences or even people's opinions of you to keep you from experiencing every single day the greatest freedom on the planet. And that is of following Jesus Christ closely. In the following video that you're going to see, it's really obvious that the people there are really struggling. They're struggling with their past failures, and they're also struggling with their current temptations, and they're down and they're discouraged. They need a new picture. They need a new picture of what their future can be. The same can happen to you.
Could a garden come out from this ground at all? You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You
I think I've watched that 6 times this week, and I can't do it without shedding tears. Because in Christ, that's what He will do for all who will allow Him to change them. Father, change us. Give us Your freedom. Make all things new, would You? And we know it's a process. But I just pray that every single person here today we'll have that hope that can only come through Jesus Christ. Oh, we want to be set free, Father. Not just at conversion, but for the rest of our lives. I pray that Christians here today will claim that promise and will walk in the freedom that You provide. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here's what we say to God. You make beautiful things. You make me new. You are making me new. It's still ongoing. Look again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 really says it well. This is a newer translation of the NIV. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. It is here now. It is here today. If you're not a follower of Christ, why don't you take that step? Be made new. Christ follower, you ready to go above and beyond? You ready to give more than just the status quo? Are you ready to serve and sacrifice like never before? I don't know what that's going to mean for you, but it's going to be life-changing, and you'll experience the freedom of Christ. And I want to ask every single one of you as Christ followers, my favorite person in that video was that little girl who took the gospel camera wherever she went. Will you take the gospel camera everywhere you go and smile and invite people to come to Him and to make all things new? Let's stand together.